What's wrong in your life right now? What's not going the way that you hoped? What's not going the way that you planned? The way that you intended? What feels like a complicated and unsolvable mess in your life right now? What is it that's going wrong in your life? We are in week two of a series thinking about what it means for us to be a church deeply shaped by Jesus. The book of Philippians is a letter written by Paul to a church that he dearly loved, a church he had planted some years earlier. And when Paul writes this letter, when he writes these words in Philippians, he is in prison. That's not going to work for me. Now, whatever else that is going wrong in your life right now, I know at least that you are not in prison. And I hope that you don't see church as a prison. But Paul is not in prison for murder. He's not in prison for stealing or anything like that. He has been imprisoned simply for being a Christian who wants to talk about Jesus. He's done nothing wrong. What would you feel if you were in his shoes, imprisoned for not committing a crime as such? What would you say if you were writing a letter to your friends about what is happening with your imprisonment? Well, this is what Paul says in this letter to the Philippian church. If you've got a Bible open, please have it with you. Philippians 1 from verse 12. Paul writes this to his friends. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, that is being in prison, has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. And the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. But the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Have you ever heard anyone speak like that? Have you ever heard somebody say, I've just lost my job, and it has given me a great opportunity to show how much I depend on Jesus for everything? Have you ever heard somebody say, my house just got robbed and stripped bare, and now I get to show people that my treasure is in heaven? Have you ever heard somebody say, I've just been diagnosed with cancer, and it is so exciting to think of the possibilities of talking about Jesus with other cancer patients? That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Nobody speaks like that. Nobody thinks this way. How on earth can Paul say, I've just been put in prison for talking about Jesus, and it is so, so good, because it has given me opportunity to speak more about Jesus? How can he say that? Well, it is only because Paul has a Jesus-shaped perspective on his life, on his circumstances and all that happens around him. Friends, how will we as individuals and as a church community navigate through this next season of our life together? If our perspective on our life and circumstances and the things that happen around us, if it is not deeply shaped by Jesus, then one of two things will happen. We will either become overly disappointed and discouraged when things don't go our way, or we will become selfish, scared that if we don't look after ourselves and what we want, no one else will. But friends, if we become either of these things as a people and as a church, then we will be useless and ineffective for the mission of Jesus and have no one to blame but ourselves. I remember at school, my maths teachers used to try to tell us how important it was to learn maths. Any maths teachers in the room this morning? Good. Because my maths teachers would give a warning and say, you won't have a calculator everywhere you go. You need to learn maths. I have a calculator everywhere I go. I think we showed them who was right. Now, you might complain that today kids spend way too much time on their phones, or maybe even adults too. But the mistake that my maths teachers made was one of perspective. My maths teachers lacked the perspective of what the future could look like. And they focused on the way that things had always been done rather than on how they could be done. In this next season of our church life, if we are to succeed by any measure, it will only be because we look at our life and our circumstances and the things that happen around us with a Jesus-shaped perspective. If we keep looking back to our own history, to what we were like 10, 20, even 50 years ago, if that's the dream for our church, then we won't even see that the world has passed us by and is a very different place. Now, there have been many great things that have happened in our past. Wonderful things for Jesus. But what should shape our decisions now is not what we have done in the past, but what Jesus would have us do in the present. We want to be a church that is deeply shaped by Jesus, not our past. That we might have a Jesus-shaped perspective on our life, on our circumstances, and on all that happens around us and to us, on all that we do. What does that look like? How do we view the world in such a way? Well, friends, here are three truths that we must believe. Three ideas that will change the way we view our life and circumstances to be deeply shaped by Jesus. The first one is this. Life is all about Jesus. Have a look with me from verse 19. Paul says, "Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this, his imprisonment, will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed at all, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Sometimes words are extremely powerful and life-changing. 10 years ago, I sat on a beach with a very beautiful girl. And as we talked, I was listening out for one word that would change my life forever. Yes. And she did say yes. One single word made Jennifer my wife and the mother to my children. They're the most powerful three letters a person could say. These verses here in Philippians have also been hugely powerful in shaping my life. As a teenager, I wrestled with questions about meaning and purpose in life. And I found it here. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. They are words that have shaped my life in so many ways. They are words that have led to many decisions that bring me to this point today. Paul is very clear in these verses that he knows that his life entirely and completely is all about Jesus. He goes on in verse 22. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. See what Paul says? Paul says that life is great because I get to live for Jesus. But then if I die, well, I get even more of Jesus. But if I live, then you will get more of Jesus too. Back in verse 15, Paul says that while he's in prison, there have been other people out there spreading the news of Jesus. And some of them are doing it because they love Jesus and they love Paul. But quite strangely, there are other people who have been spreading the news about Jesus because they don't like Paul. Verse 17, he says, they preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. That is, there are people out there who believe that if they keep talking about Jesus on the outside, then Paul will only suffer and be treated worse in prison. And what does Paul think about this? Verse 18, what then, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Or to quote another translation, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of that, I rejoice. See, Paul doesn't care why people do it. He doesn't care if it makes his situation even worse. He only cares that more people hear about Jesus. Because for Paul, life is all about Jesus. And he knows that so clearly. If life is all about Jesus, then that means that Jesus impacts every single action and every single decision that you and I make. Every decision about our work, our children, our leisure, our retirement, our whole of life. Now, that does not mean that you should work in ministry to be a real Christian. Okay, we don't have the budget for that for a start. Well, of course, there are some jobs that if you do follow Jesus, it's probably hard to do. It's probably hard to be a Christian hitman. or a Christian prostitute. But most things are fine. We do things with Jesus in mind. If life is all about Jesus, then we should do everything with Jesus in mind. That you work not simply so you can put food on the table, but Jesus affects the way that you do your work, how you love your family around your work, how you serve people with the work that you do. Jesus affects how you love your kids, how you speak to them, treat them, and give yourself to them. Jesus affects what you encourage your children and grandchildren to do and to pursue in their life. Jesus affects how you spend your leisure time. Exercise and sport are not about simply getting fit and healthy. They are times to help you rest and recover, that you might have energy to continue to serve Jesus. That you create things with music or craft or food out of a joy of God's gifts and with a desire to promote this joy to others. If life is all about Jesus, that will affect what we do as a church. The songs that we sing, the ministries that we run, the way that we spend our money. A Jesus-shaped perspective on life is one that knows that life is all about Jesus. The second truth we must believe in order to have a Jesus-shaped perspective on life is this, that life with Jesus involves suffering. This one doesn't sound so nice, does it? That's what makes it all the more important. Come with me to verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or in absence, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. And then note verse 29. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Brothers and sisters, we follow an innocent man who was killed on a cross. Did you notice in this passage that Paul being in prison for his faith, it doesn't make him doubt his faith in God? He doesn't say, God, I was trusting you and trying to do your work. Why did you put me in prison? I don't deserve this. Now, Paul expects that when life is most difficult, it will allow him to show the sufficiency of Jesus in his life. He knows the Christian life is not easy. And he knows that it is the hardest times in life. When there is a lot going wrong, when everything feels like it's messy, that he will most clearly be able to point people to Jesus. See, following Jesus is going to be hard at least some of the time. And we should expect it to be hard. Otherwise, we won't last. See, if you think that serving will be easy, then you will stop as soon as you feel like you're not being appreciated. If you think evangelism will be easy, then you will stop as soon as someone else stops listening to you. If you think obeying God will be easy, you will stop as soon as you have to make a costly decision. Life with Jesus involves suffering. It should not surprise us that things are hard. It will always be hard sometimes. And sometimes it will always be hard. Once Paul became a Christian, he spent the rest of his life facing one major problem after another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he gives us a brief summary of what his experience is like as a Christian. It's quite difficult. This is what he says from 2 Corinthians 11. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Can you imagine that? Paul did not have an easy life as a Christian. To have a Jesus-shaped perspective like Paul, we must know that life with Jesus involves suffering. It will always be hard sometimes. And for some of us, like Paul, it will be hard all the time. The third truth is this. Life with Jesus is worth it. Verse 19, Paul says, I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Or again in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Who here has played the board game Monopoly? Everyone knows what Monopoly is? Yep, good. Who here likes the board game Monopoly? I'm about to judge all of you. Monopoly is a terrible game. No one should like Monopoly. Because when you play Monopoly, it takes about 15 minutes before you work out who is going to win the game. And then you spend the next 3 hours waiting for that person to finally win. It's awful. Friends, Jesus is like a game of Monopoly. We are 15 minutes in. We already know that Jesus has won. And no one else can win now. And we are just waiting for him to finish. But unlike Monopoly, where we are always the poor losers, we can actually join his team and we can win with him. See, when Jesus wins, he brings salvation to us. He brings us into a peaceful and right relationship with God and with each other. And that is why Paul can say, to die is gain. Because as terrible as death is, it is still the last suffering. And then there is no more. Without Jesus, you will live in constant fear of failure and of death. But if life is all about Jesus, and Jesus defeated death on the cross, then we need have no fear of death. Verse 23, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is better by far. See, ultimately, death gives us more of Jesus. It is through death that we receive eternal life with Jesus. And so following Jesus is worth it, because in the end, Jesus wins. And when we are with him, we win. Friends, we need to look at our life, at our circumstances, and all that happens around us with a perspective that is shaped by Jesus. Because ultimately, life is all about Jesus. And we ought not be disappointed and discouraged or even surprised when things get difficult. Because we know that life with Jesus involves suffering. And we ought not become selfish, looking out only for our own needs or desires. Because we know that however hard it may be at times, that life with Jesus is totally and utterly worth it. So what is wrong in your life right now? Well, what are the things that are not going to plan the way that you hoped or intended? And how do they look from a Jesus-shaped perspective? Do they make you long for Jesus? Does it make you depend on Jesus more and more? Does it make you hate sin in this world like Jesus does? Does it help you see what is truly valuable? Let us pray that it does. Let me pray. Father, there is so much in our world that is awful and hurtful and difficult. And yet we know you are a God who is sovereign and powerful and loving. We thank you for Paul and his example of having a Jesus-shaped perspective on all of his life and circumstances, that he knows that ultimately everything brings him closer to Jesus. God, please help us to have that same perspective on life, that we might see our hardships and troubles and difficulties in a way that is shaped by Jesus, that we might know with Paul that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen.